So my work has long sort of dealt with issues around sort of human relationship to the natural world. I grew up in Arizona in a suburb of Phoenix and sort of didn't realize it at the time, but was living in this completely constructed environment. You might imagine sort of saguaros and desert landscape, but we had green grass and ash trees and peach trees, thanks to irrigation that was being brought in from lakes and rivers, you know, even in states that were, you know, outside of Arizona. And it wasn't really until I got older and started doing a lot more hiking that I even started to even appreciate the desert landscape that was the sort of native environment there. I lived about a decade in Boston, Massachusetts, and then was sort of acquainted with proper seasons and winter and snow, the ocean, forests, and things like that. So sort of landscape has always had a really big influence on my work. I moved to Baltimore about a little over 3 years ago and was really struck by the landscape and even its difference coming from a place like Massachusetts. And I moved in the middle of summer and everything was green on top of green on top of green. And there were these huge mounds of vegetation that were just covering, you know, everything. And I was totally fascinated by what I was seeing and what I was looking at. And so after kind of digging into sort of trying to understand what that landscape really was composed of, I learned that a lot of it was actually invasive plants that have been in the United States for hundreds of years that were either introduced on purpose, such as in the case of like kudzu, which was introduced in the 1800s in Philadelphia. And you, actually farmers were given money in the South to plant it to prevent soil erosion in the early 1900s. And it really kind of has just taken over many areas within the South. As well as like plants that were introduced inadvertently, like maybe used as packing material for shipping, you know, porcelain from China, and then sort of those little bits of plants sort of taking root and starting to transform the landscape. So I was really interested in just this this idea of sort of what the landscape potentially looked like before, which is completely an invented idea as well. As well as sort of how it was really deeply changing and really kind of trying to understand what it was that I was seeing. So I started this series of works that are all based on photo documentation that I've taken driving around the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia. And the roadside provides a really great place to observe invasive plant species because these disturbed areas where sort of civilization bumps up against natural spaces really provides like an ideal condition for many of these invasive plants. And so Susan mentioned that the work is in Silver Point, and I also wanted to touch on the scale of the work. I've been thinking a lot as this work started about the sort of ideal landscapes and the kind of picturesque landscape postcards that may present an idealized view of a landscape or a place that you might visit. And so that became a really strong reference for the scale of this work. Silver Point, I'm actually drawing with jeweler silver to make these drawings. So even though they look a lot like graphite, they're composed of silver. Silver Point is a drawing technique that dates back to the early Renaissance and sort of originated out of scribes. That sounds bad. Scribes using metal to write in wax and clay tablets. As paper technology made its way over to Europe from Asia, artists started treating paper with different surfaces and grounds that would allow the silver to actually make a mark on the paper. And so you'll see like artists like Albrecht Dürer or Leonardo da Vinci working with silver as a drawing instrument. And so any kind of very soft metal can be used to make a drawing if you have enough tooth. So these pieces of paper are first touched with a ground that has a little bit of texture and titanium white. These are acrylic and titanium white, but there's also traditional mediums that use rabbit skin glue, zinc white pigment. And then the drawing is made directly on that surface. And so over time, the silver actually tarnishes and shifts color. So you'll notice that This series of drawings that's over on this side is actually the oldest work of the series, and so you notice it's a lot darker. It starts to take on a different tone. And so you might be able to recognize some of the earliest or the most recent work as well based on how light and kind of the tint that they have within them as well. So ultimately within this work, you know, I was hoping to kind of have an aspect that mimics this feeling of sort of seeing these landscapes in a car alongside the road, that sort of linear traveling around the space. They were grouped after the work was made to really sort of correspond the line of the road and the shape of the vegetation to kind of bring together many different views and many different places into more of a unified collection and sort of replicating that kind of like multiple view of the landscape sort of as I was passing through it as well. So I really appreciated the opportunity to hang in this kind of manner, to have this sort of linear, almost narrative approach to the landscape that one could kind of move through physically in the same way that you might within a car as well. And so ultimately I think this issue with invasive plants is provides a really nice lens to think about like our larger impact on the environment and the real irreversible sort of impact that we have. And I think a lot about, you know, the challenge there are a lot of people who are doing work to try to remove invasive plants and replant native plants to sort of bring back a strong biodiversity to help support, you know, plant and animal life. But it's a huge, huge, you know, sort of insurmountable task. And so I also think about, like, perhaps this is the version of nature that we have that will survive alongside us as our climate continues to change and gets warmer. You know, this may be the version of nature that we have that as opposed to sort of the version that we had in the past. So I'm happy to take any questions if you have any. And just wanted to say thank you. All right. Yeah.
Is it almost light catching because you are kind of reaching into that ground?
Can you say that again?
In a way, is Silver Point almost light catching in that you're kind of...
You don't actually dig into the surface. It really just sits on top of the surface. So it's a little bit similar to even the way that graphite makes a mark, you know, but graphite is going to be softer than metal, and so it comes off the surface much easier. But if you've ever had like a metal ruler and accidentally made a mark on the wall or something like that, same kind of thing, little bits of that metal comes off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose that?
Silver Point? So it's a medium that I've worked with for a while, and when I was first introduced to it by a friend, I fell in love with it right away. It doesn't really erase. It doesn't smudge, so it allows for incredibly fine detail. I sharpen the Silver Point tool so it's very fine, so I can have a lot of control with it. And then I really appreciate the way that it can tarnish and shift over time. And I like this idea of kind of tying into this much long, like larger tradition and that kind of intimacy that comes with the sort of individual mark making that is used to kind of construct the whole image. Yeah, thanks. All right.
I think it's really interesting thinking about creating documents mm-hmm. of the land.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we're in this moment. Mm-hmm. This becomes our landscape.
Yeah.
But we have this sort of feeling of nostalgia for mm-hmm. that possible yeah. other landscape mm-hmm. or the one that we think was better before the invasives yeah. came in. And something about the Silver Point being very light and almost mm-hmm. ghostly and then yeah. starting to solidify in mm-hmm. a different way.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, I think, conceptual choice of material.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, you know, the drawing, the rendering of these landscapes, particularly by removing color, it's sort of like merging both the native and invasive plants together and sort of linking them in the way that they really are. Last summer, I went down to Richmond and met with a number of people who are involved in invasive plant removal around the James River Park system, and they were leading me through different parts of the park and showing me some of the work that they had been doing. And, you know, thinking about this large-scale area of land along the James River, there might be an area that's the size of this gallery that they've been working on for like a year, removing invasives, planting native plants, like not knowing if even like the next season those native plants would still survive. And it was just like this sort of gave a great view into just how huge the challenge of just trying to even like manage the sort of spread of invasive plants was. So, yeah, I mean, it's totally, because also, like, as you remove even invasive plants, like, you have problems with soil erosion and things like that. So it's, everything is still linked. And, you know, they were talking about people who are working with the water quality of the James River. And, you know, sort of their most important factor was sort of the water quality. And so if you have a case where the erosion, there's more soil erosion, like, that's negative. So it's sort of like, what is the ultimate goal? And there's different, like, what is the thing that you're focusing on that's so complex? So, yeah.